do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. In verse 20, if you look back to verse 20, we didn't read this verse, but the apostle said, When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, the way they were observing this ordinance in the church at Corinth, that was not the way that it should be done. Because they were bringing food together, and some were wealthy people, and they had an abundance of food, and some were poor believers, and they had little to eat. And some, of course, were bringing wine and drinking too much wine. And so the apostle tells them, this church at Corinth, that's not the way to observe the Lord's Supper. Then he begins where we began reading in verse 23 to speak about the Lord's Supper. And tonight, I want us to consider one thing only, and that is, why is this called the Lord's Supper? Why is this called the Lord's Supper? Now, for myself, growing up, that's the term that I heard most often referring to this church ordinance. It is the Lord's Supper. I realize that there are other terms in the Scripture. It's called the table of the Lord, breaking of bread, and the bread and of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. One of the earliest words that was given to this ordinance, not from the Scripture, but from man, is the word Eucharist. Sometimes you'll hear this referred to as taking the Eucharist. I've never wanted to use that word because I associate it with ritualism, with churches that somehow teach, no doubt teach, not somehow, but teach, that this is a sacrament and it conveys grace, that the bread conveys grace, that the wine conveys grace. The word Eucharist is a good word because it simply means thanksgiving. And that's what we are doing here as we observe the table tonight. We are giving thanks unto the Lord for his body and blood that was shed for us. But I want to answer that question tonight. Why is this referred to as the Lord's Supper? And I have five answers for us. Number one, it is called the Lord's Supper because the Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. It is an ordinance that he gave to his church for us to observe. The church did not give this ordinance. It's called the Lord's Supper because he's the one who instituted it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Saints. We think of him quite often as prophet, as we saw this morning, as priest, but he is also the King. And this is a commandment, a rule that he gave to his people, to the church. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 22 and read about the institution of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper because he is the one who gave this ordinance. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Passover feast, when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Remember the Passover lamb, the blood that was shed, the blood that was put upon the lintels of the doors. And God passed over those houses where he saw the blood, and the firstborn in those houses were spared. But in every house where there was not blood, the firstborn in that house was taken away, was destroyed by death. And from that time, God told Moses, and Moses, the nation of Israel, this shall be a perpetual ordinance. From now on, this you shall observe every year at the Feast of Passover, as it came to be called, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Actually, the Passover was one day, and the next day began the 7 days of unleavened bread. So they both were joined together. But the Passover was a feast that God commanded Israel to observe. And to do so, because when they observed it, I don't believe they put the blood on the doorpost any longer. But they were to eat the feast. They were to roast the lamb, every family to roast the lamb, and for the family to eat. And when their children asked them, why do we do this? What's this about? Then you shall tell them what it's about. That God delivered us by blood from Egypt. God redeemed us from Egyptian bondage by blood. Now our Lord here, beginning in verse 15, says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This was to be the last Passover. There never was to be another Passover after this Passover. Why? Because that lamb, the Passover lamb, had been a type all through the centuries of God's lamb. When John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. With desire, our Lord said, I have desired to eat this Passover. This was to be the last Passover that should have ever been observed because the type was now fulfilled. The true Lamb of God was now sacrificed, the Lord Jesus Christ. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled the next day when he dies. The type, the prophecy is going to be fulfilled by his death. He's the Lamb of God that those Passover lambs had pictured. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, that was the end of the Passover supper, right there. And so we began with verse 19, when he gives. Why is it called the Lord's Supper? Because the Lord gave the rules for this supper. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, just like he had taken the cup and or taken the bread and given thanks, so likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant. in my blood, which is shed for you. Notice the words we read here, and he took bread. Now, what does the bread represent? It represents his body, doesn't it? He took bread, showing us again, reminding us again that the eternal Son of God took flesh to himself. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, we read, "For as much then as the children, those that were given to Christ, his seed, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same." Just as he took the bread, so we know in the fullness of the time, God's time, he took the body that was prepared for him into union with his eternal person, the Son of God. And then the next thing I would point out to us, he gave thanks, verse 19. "And likewise with the cup, he gave thanks. When the Lord gave thanks," he was thanking the Lord, no doubt, that by this one offering, this one sacrifice, that he would perfect forever those who are sanctified, those who are chosen, set apart by God himself. He gave thanks that by shedding his blood, he would redeem unto God a people that is so great. I like what the preacher said the other night. He said, people there where he pastors said, "Well, you believe that there's just a handful of people are going to be saved." He said, "I do believe that." But he said, "Remember this, that's the hand of God. It's a big hand. And there are multitudes upon multitudes that his blood redeemed." And the Lord gave thanks. He thanked the Lord that by his sacrifice, he would glorify God, first of all, by his obedience, even unto death, he would glorify God. And at the same time, he would redeem unto God a number of people, innumerable number of people, by his precious blood. That's the reason, first of all, I say it's called the Lord's Supper, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave this ordinance. A church council didn't come together and decide, "Well, I think we need to have something called the Lord's Supper." The ancients, the fathers, so-called, they didn't come together. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who gave this ordinance. And we call it an ordinance because it is given to the church, a church ordinance. We don't observe this in our homes individually, but we come together as a church ordinance. All right, here's the second reason. It is called the Lord's Supper because the only elements upon the table, bread and wine, picture him. That's what we have here on this table tonight. We have bread and wine. We don't have anything else. We don't have any salt and pepper or anything else that you might have on your table when you sit down to eat supper. The only thing on this table, bread and wine, which represent the broken body and the poured out blood. Now, they are not literally, his body is not literally on this table. His blood is not literally on this table. That's a lie that has deceived so many people, that they believe that by eating this bread and drinking the cup, that they are actually eating the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." But we do not do that by eating this bread and drinking this cup. We eat his flesh and drink his blood by trusting in him, by relying upon that one sacrifice as all our salvation. The apostle warned the church here at Corinth about eating this supper unworthily. Notice in verse 29, he said, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." How do you eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily? By not discerning the Lord's body. He's not saying that everyone should be worthy. I'm sure every child of God here tonight would confess, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that God would give His Son for me. I'm not worthy." But to eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily is to do it not discerning the Lord's body. This is what the apostle said. Not to recognize. What does that mean, not discerning the Lord's body? It means, first of all, not to recognize that He is the Son of God. That He is God manifest in the flesh. If a person doesn't recognize that, well, I believe that Jesus was a good man. I believe He's a good teacher. I believe He's a good example. If that's all you believe about Him, if you take this table, you shall do so unworthily. To discern His body is to recognize, to believe that He, yes, He was man, but more than man, He's the God-man. The God-man. Why would you eat that which represents another's flesh and blood? If you did not believe that He is God who was made flesh, why would a person do that? Would you eat bread and drink wine that represented the body of some other man, someone here, maybe a preacher or some other man that you know? You wouldn't do that. Why? Because they're just men. That's why. A man at his best is still just a man. But this body and blood pictures the body and blood of the God-man. God manifest in the flesh. Why would you eat that which represents another's flesh and blood if you do not believe that He ratified the new covenant with His blood? This is what He said. This is My blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. If a person believes that he's still under that old covenant of works, why would you eat that which represents His flesh and blood, by which He ratified the New Covenant? Why would you eat that which represents another's flesh and blood if you did not believe that God raised Him from the dead? Yes, He died. Yes, He was buried. But my friends, He tonight, and His body can only be in one place at a time. His body is not on this table. His body is at the right hand of God, the man Christ Jesus. Now, as God, He has promised to be where two or three are in His midst. Or He's in our midst where two or three gather in His name. But only as God is that true of Him. As man, man's not omnipresent. No. So it's called the Lord's Supper, first of all, because He gave it. Second, it's called the Lord's Supper because the only elements on this table represent His body, the bread and the wine. Number three, it is called the Lord's Supper because the guests at the table are the Lord's own. Those of us who partake of this food, who eat of this table tonight, we are His people. That is true by His saving grace. It was to His disciples that He said, "This do." He didn't say this to the world. He didn't say this to anybody and everybody? No, he said this to his disciples, those who followed him, those who trusted in him and believed in him. Judas was gone out. This do in remembrance of me. The guests are his people to whom he has given repentance and remission of sins. Let me read that verse back in Acts chapter 5 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He's exalted a prince and a savior for to give. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts 5, verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. When I said just a few minutes ago that the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, is at the Father's right hand, remember, he has the scepter in his hand. That all authority, all power is given unto him, the God-man, both in heaven and in earth. We know the Apostle Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 about then cometh the end when he delivers up the kingdom to the Father and God shall be all in all. But at this present time, the man Christ Jesus is a sovereign ruler over heaven and earth. Number four, it is called the Lord's Supper because he communes with his people at this table. Just like you invite some guests over to your house and they come and they sit down at your table and you commune one with the other. You fellowship one with the other. The guest with the host. The guest with the host commune. If you look back in our text, 1 Corinthians 11, turn back to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, we have communion tonight. Many people refer to this as a communion service, and that's good because it is communion. We commune with one another here tonight. But our communion, even though it is with one another, the mystical body of Christ, our communion is with him, with Christ. He's the host, and we sit at his table and partake, and we have communion with him. And here's the fifth thing. It is called the Lord's Supper because it is done in memory of him. We do not do this in the memory of John Calvin. We don't do this in the memory of Joseph Arminius. We do this in the memory of him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This do, he said, in memory of me, in remembrance of me. I just finished reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and I was impressed by seeing five times in that book that God, through Moses, told the nation of Israel, thou shalt remember. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Now, one of those five times, the word is translated servant for some reason. It's the same word. But God told them, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And I thought to myself, if a person had been a bondman, had been a slave, would that person need to be reminded to remember? Could you ever forget? Sound like somebody's got a phone going off. There we go. Could a person who had been a slave forget that and need to be reminded? Need to be told, you remember that? I suppose so. God told him 5 times, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And I know the memory of it served for several purposes. One purpose was that they would be friendly, that they would receive others. Remember that one time you were a bondman, and show kindness to others. Now, I guess I'm going to have to start doing like I've seen at programs at the very beginning, saying this would be a good time if you have a cell phone to turn it off. I know it's embarrassing to you if it's your phone. It's embarrassing to all of us. Let's try to remember that. Leave it in the car. That's the best way. Well, remember, this do in remembrance of me. The Lord knew that we need this ordinance to help us to remember Him, or He would not have given it to us. And aren't we all prone to forget that we too were bondmen, that we were slaves to sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us, ransomed us. But this ordinance, this table, reminds us of His great sacrifice to deliver us, to deliver His people. I pray the Lord would bless those thoughts and words. If you will, now let's, men, if you will, come at this time.